what do you do the first day of retirement after a 20-year career in the National Hockey League?
Well, believe it or not, but I'm actually on my way to a hockey rink and watch my son play. So I think, you know, I'll have a lot more time doing that now, and I think I'll be enjoying that as well.
That's the perfect activity. Now, do you remember Doug McLean from your formative years in the National Hockey League?
We can draw a picture.
Yeah, of course I remember Doug.
He had really big glasses back then.
I remember Doug on the power play telling me to shoot the puck a little bit more.
Exactly. That was, you know what? That was, and I'm glad you listened, Nick, because it really made you into a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, well, I guess I was a good listener.
So, Nick, you think back, and I was telling the story the other day about Brian Murray phoning me at 2 o'clock in the morning. He was over scouting in Sweden. You had been drafted before Brian and I went there, and he phoned me and said, Doug, I just watched this Nick Lidstrom, and I think he's got a chance to be better than Al McGinnis. And I said, Brian, go have another beer and phone me tomorrow, you know. And all of a sudden, Hall of Famer. I mean, it's been just an amazing story. Passed through the draft, and then you end up with a career like this. How amazing is it?
You know, it has been an amazing ride. And, you know, I do remember my first year in Detroit, not sure where I would fit in or if I would make the team. And you know, I wasn't overly confident going over there. But I did have a chance to play in Canada Cup there in the fall of 91 before I went to training camp. And I played against you know, the best Americans, Canadians, and Russians, and you know, I was able to compete with them. So I figured if I can just keep doing this when I get to Detroit too, I think I'll have a shot at it. And you know, I came over there with Vladdy Konstantinov at the same time, and I think we came at just at the right moment too.
And what about Pear Juice? What about Pear Juice?
Yeah, he was one of the guys as well that was over there. But I remember just getting there, and we got there at the right moment. I think there's some transition on the blue line where some older guys were leaving, and I think Vlad and I came just at the right moment for us.
Nick, the last few years, you've been on these one-year contracts because you just want to see how you feel at the end of the year, when we all know that you could have signed for 5 or 7 years. What was different this season opposed to the last few that you decided to shut it down?
Well, the last couple of summers after the playoffs, I've always taken a few weeks off and kind of heal my body and relax and start thinking about the next season or what's ahead of me. And, you know, this summer or this spring was a little bit different. Once I started working out again, I didn't have the intensity and the jump and the fire that I've had in the past. And, you know, I took me a couple of workouts and I thought about it some more, and I just felt that I didn't have it where I knew I have to. I know I can't cheat myself and come back and not play at the level where I want to be playing at. So I think that really came into effect when I took my decision.
Was that in the back of your mind? Was that creeping in throughout this season where in other campaigns it wasn't there?
Yeah, sometimes I try to push it away during the season. I tried to really just enjoy the moment, enjoy the games that I was part of and everything around the team. But sometimes it kept creeping in, and I kept pushing it back. But, you know, once the season was over and I tried to get back to doing what I normally do in the off season, I just didn't have it anymore.
Nick, just a few words on your first defense partner, the late, great Brad McCrimmon. I mean, obviously he was your first guy. I know you played with different guys, but Brad was a veteran guy when you come in and then ended up being your defensive coach with the Wings.
Yeah, I think he was a great fit for me coming in, him being more of a stay-at-home defenseman and real solid in his own end. And it kind of gave me the opportunity to be part of the rush and be part of the offense, which, you know, I was kind of brought up that way when I played junior and the first couple of years in the Swedish Elite League. And Beast really gave me that chance to get up there. Even, you know, he told me too that, you know, whenever you can get up there, I'll be staying here at home and kind of guarding the home front. And I was able to do that, and he took care of me off the ice too. We were roommates the whole season, and you know, him and his wife Maureen were really nice to me and my wife Annika. And I think it really helped me. I think he taught me how to, you know, become a professional too. And once you do it and once you get good at it, I think that's when you become a better hockey player. But I thought he really set the tone for me early on.
Man, 20 years, you've seen everything. Can you talk about how the game's evolved over your 20 years and where you think it's headed and what you think of it?
It has changed. When I first came in, it was a tougher league where, you know, you had the tough guys and you had a bigger roster, so you can carry more guys. And the game wasn't as fast as it is today. You were taught to hold up, for example, hold up for your partner and go back for the puck, or in a neutral zone, lock with your guy. And that was the game. You were taught that way. After the lockout, everything changed. You know, you had to be moving your feet a lot more and get skating and be in the right position. So I think when I first came over, you know, Dave Lewis taught me early on to, you know, try to play my position right. And I think that really helped me later on in my career when you weren't allowed to use the stick and used to grab and hold the way you could early on.
Which game do you like more?
You know, I liked it back then as well. I thought it was, you know, it's a physical game and as it is today, but I thought it was cleaner in a way where...
More honest?
More honest, I would say. Yeah, I think if something bad happened, you know, players took care of it and it was it. And today it has changed a little bit with some of the tougher players not being able to be part of the teams anymore. So I think that has changed a little bit in today's hockey.
Nick, you were with Steve Yzerman, you know, for the bulk of his career, and I know he was he had been there a few years before you came in, and he was a young captain who really struggled as a young captain, but for some reason emerged and became a great captain. You know, obviously you had a part of helping Steve, even as a younger player than Steve, becoming that great captain that he became. You took over his captaincy. Just talk about the Yzerman captaincy, your captaincy, and how important it was for the Red Wings.
I think it was very important for the team to have a captain like Stevie. I thought he led by example. He was a hard worker out there. He had all the skill in the world, but when it really came down to it, I think just his determination won games for us, and just how hard he played and how hard he kind of set the tone for the rest of the guys, and that, I think that really showed. And later on in my career, when I had a chance to become captain and take over that spot, I think I've learned a lot from Stevie, just the way he handled himself. And you know, he wasn't a overly vocal guy in the room, but whenever he spoke, you know, players listened, and he could calm the team down or he can get the team fired up. And I think I learned a lot from Stevie when I was able to take over.
Let Nick back in here in just a second, but when you're talking about the old game and then the toughness, that was back when you had your only fight. 1991 against Brad Miller. How'd that start?
You know what? I don't even recall the actual fight, but I wasn't in those scrums a whole lot, and I think that's where Beast, you know, McCrimmon came into play, and nothing happened.
You got the instigator.
I remember that, you know, vividly, that he was the guy that always was there for me.
Oh, yeah, over the years, and you know, Joey Kosher, Proby, yeah. McCarty, yeah. Man, you played with some tough guys, but they could also find a way to contribute playing the game.
Yeah, and, you know, starting off with, you know, Proby, I thought was a great fit for our team. He was always there when something bad happens or you needed someone to step in. He was the guy, and Mac took over his role a couple of years later, and Mac could play. You know, looking back at Stanley Cup finals against Philly, 97, game four, he got the game winner by Goldman. I think he got the puck by his own blue line and stick handled through a couple of guys and scored a beautiful goal. So he was a guy that could fight and stand up for his teammates, but he can also score.
Now, Kenny Holland has told me on many of occasions, sometimes over a beer, that the day Nick Lidstrom retires, I think I will retire too. Is he stepped up and packed it in, or is he going to stay?
Now Kenny's staying. I think he's looking forward to the challenge too. To kind of get some new players in our lineup now. I think there's going to be some money freed up that they can go after some free agents. But I do like the core group that we still have here in Detroit with, you know, looking at Sederberg and Philpois, great combination. We got Datsyuk and Fronson, the back end, Cronwall. I think Jonathan Erickson's got great potential to become a good defenseman for us. And I like Howie back in net. So I still like the core group. But I think Kenny, we know how good he is as a GM, and I think that's going to show this summer.
Nick, your Stanley Cup core group, who are all retired now, we mentioned Steve Yzerman, Chris Draper's part of the organization now in Detroit. How about you? You have aspirations to get on that management side as well?
You know, it was brought up when Ken and I had our discussions, and, you know, Kenny said we'd like to find something for you, and I told him, you know, I'm going to be moving back to Sweden, take my family back to Sweden, but he said we can still work something out. So we're going to have more discussions here in the next couple of weeks. And I said I would love to remain with the organization. You know, Kenny's been so good with Drapes and Shelley and Maltz and a couple other guys, Ozzie as well. So it might be something for me to do as well.
But we do know that you will be back for the outdoor game now. Welcome to the alumni. I've played like 12 in a row right now, so I can tell you that they're a lot of fun. And I'm even hearing like little buzz that maybe even Gordie Howe might be playing in it. So can we expect to see you?
You know, I haven't gotten that far yet with my thought process, but, you know, it would be a blast being part of something like that. I remember having some great ballast with the Leafs back in the 90s and when we played them a lot. So it might be a great chance to kind of relive some of those memories.
With your power in Detroit, could you put in a word for Kyprios? Because I don't see him making the Leafs team. I just don't see him cracking that lineup.
Forget Kipper. Can you put in a word for Mac to be the assistant coach on the Red Wings team?
It's down to me and Barry Smith.
I'm passing the torch on to Mac.
Thanks so much. I know that you've been bombarded with requests after making this announcement, and the best part about it is you're taking your son to a hockey game the first day of retirement. What a great thing to do as a dad.
Congratulations, Nick.
Congratulations, Nick, on an amazing career.
Thank you.